everybody. Welcome to the Technology Evangelist Podcast. And we're going to try and cover some things that either maybe you don't know a lot about or have never heard of, and try and just bring some interest to different things that I see and find out about, and some of them that I get to, a lot of them I'll get to play with, and just bring a users and a geek's perspective to some of the cooler things in dentistry.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome. And for those of you listeners who are not aware, Dr. John Flukey is the technology editor for Dental Products Report magazine and website.
True.
How long have you been doing that?
I have actually been with the Dental Products brand since 1998. And I have written for them all those years. And I believe it was somewhere around probably 2006, maybe 2007, somewhere in there, where they approached me and wanted to know if I would handle the duties of technology editor. And I was thrilled to do it. I mean, I love teaching, and I love being able to reach out, to people and be able to evangelize.
That's awesome. So today we're going to talk about Chicago Midwinter. It's coming up here in a few days. Actually, it's not that long from now. So you said when you go to Chicago, first thing kind of non-dental, you like to go to the Business and Industry Museum, right?
Yep, absolutely. It is, for those of you that have never been there, it's a really interesting place. And the Business and Industry Museum, it has all kinds of really different stuff that deal with not just technology. So it's not like a computer museum, but it just deals with different professions and different things. There's a huge dentistry exhibit. Not that, that dentistry is the end all and be all of everything that we all do.
Of course it is. But of course it is.
So we've got that. They have actually an entire submarine is in the museum. So there's a lot of really cool stuff that you get to see up close and personal that you just wouldn't normally see, and learn about tech, that you might not have even heard of before because it wasn't around when you were born. So it's a great place to visit.
Yeah. And speaking of things you want to see up close and personal, okay, let's get to the dentistry now, even though it's supposedly not the end-all be-all.
Well, it isn't. when you call the podcast, Technology Evangelist, I got to get to the dental part of it at some point.
So let's talk about the things you want to see up close and personal in Chicago at the Midwinter meeting. What does everybody need to go see? Which booths should they be checking out?
Part of my pregame ritual in going to a meeting is I try and develop a little bit of a plan of, things I want to see and things I want to, touch and feel. And so one of the things I tell people is remember that on the first day of the show, usually it's pretty busy, especially on the first morning. So like Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, the show floor from the exhibit hall is usually really busy, especially over the lunch hour. But then on Friday mornings, for instance, it's usually not quite as busy. Friday at lunch, it'll pick up. Friday afternoon, it's usually fairly busy. But then Saturday, oftentimes, there's a lot of time, where you're not waiting in lines. And so I always try and prioritize between things maybe I just want to see as opposed to things I want to see and touch and find out about. And so the things I just want to see, I usually book those on my calendar for the high traffic times. And then the things I really want to get up close and personal with, I will schedule those for low traffic time so that I do have time to talk with the people that are there. The first one, though, that I'll go after, it's a company called FutureDent, and it's spelled FutureDent. And
they're going to be booth 3830, by the way. I looked it up. 3830.
Thank you, Wing Gal. I appreciate that. 3830.
You're welcome.
So this company is a pretty phenomenal company out of Europe. They make very, very small cameras. And the one that they'll be showing now in Chicago is a camera called the ProCam 4K. And obviously with the 4K in the name, this is a camera that actually shoots 4K video or takes 4K stills. Now there's a lot of high resolution, you know, cameras on the market. You can, you know, see intraoral cameras that take, you know, great pictures, and you can obviously buy digital SLR cameras like a Nikon or a Fuji or a Canon that will take stunning images, you know, up close with large lenses. But the real neat thing about the Fuchsia-Dent company is these cameras that they make can actually be mounted directly onto your glasses. So you can have them oriented as a true POV or point of view camera, so that they sit on your glasses, and everywhere you look with your surgical telescopes on, the same image shows up on this camera. And the camera connects to the operatory computer with a USB cable, and you can either take, you know, freeze frame stills, or you can actually record your video if you want to and then save it. And all of this is at incredible resolution, and it's exactly as you see it through your glasses. And that's really amazing things, is sometimes if you want to take a picture, you know, you have to stop, either, you know, unglove and pick up some, you know, large extraoral camera, or you've got to stop and turn and pick up the intraoral camera and then, you know, put it in the mouth. But with the Fuchsia-Dent, it's just there and it's on, and everywhere you look, the point of view follows. And the other thing that's really interesting about it is you don't have to record or take stills if you don't want to. It will simply provide a live video feed.
Like a broadcast.
So, exactly. Yeah. So if patients want to see what you're doing, or they want to look in their own mouths, you know, while you're doing something, if you've got it over the patient monitor, you just drag and drop that video window onto their monitor, and it is. It's just like a TV broadcast. They can see exactly what you're doing in a well-illuminated field at the same basic magnification that you're seeing if you're looking through some people, or most people call them loops. I refer to them as surgical telescopes. But they get to see exactly what you see. And then if they want to have pictures, obviously you can take those and save them, or you can even shoot full motion video. The company also has a HIPAA compliant secure website, and you can shoot the video and store it there. It will actually, if you've got a high speed connection in the op, the video will go out of the camera into the computer and then to their servers. And you save the video there so that you don't end up with oodles and oodles of hard drive space in your office.
Right.
Taken up with video files. They're all stored for you on Fuchsia-Dent servers.
Well, and especially them being 4K, those are some huge files.
Yes. Yeah, they really can be. If you, you know, if you film the entire procedure or something,
mm-hmm.
you'll go through hard drive space pretty quickly. And I think it's a great service that the company provides. It simply allows you to send it, you know, upstream, and then you can review it and edit it later. You can also, if you want to, from their servers, email a link to your patient so that they want to go home and watch the video they have access to.
Okay.
Yeah,
so Fuchsia-Dent.
It's really cool stuff.
That's a booth to stop by. And it's funny because on their website, they say they're at booth 3830, and on the Chicago Midwinter website, it says they're at 5206. So I'm not sure who's right, but there you go. There's two numbers for you. Go check out Fuchsia-Dent.
And I'm sure, I'm sure they'll be at one or the other. Oh, I was just going to say, you know, on any of these companies, if you happen to go by, tell them that, you know, you heard about it on the podcast. I'd appreciate that. And, you know, I'm sure they'd appreciate knowing, you know, where some of the booth traffic comes from. So the next stop is going to be Ultradent, which is one of my favorite companies on the planet. And this isn't a product that's brand new to this particular show, but Ultradent has an incredible curing light called the Velo. And the Baylo itself, the initial design of the Baylo, has been around for a few years. But last year, they came up with a new model. And it's kind of funny. As a tech guy, I love curing lights. And every time UltraDent comes out with a new Baylo, I say to myself, oh, this is incredible. I can't believe they've upgraded this, but I'm really hard-pressed to see what are they going to do when they need another version of this, because this one, I can't see how much further up you can go from here. And
so what went up this time?
It went up. It went up big time. And it came out with their newest light called the Baylo Grand. And the Baylo Grand, per its name, has a large curing head size. It's actually 12 millimeters. And that will cover from mesial to distal an entire molar in one cure. And a lot of people don't think about it when they're doing such things such as an MOD on a molar. But when you're curing on a molar, you put the light on there, and anything smaller than about 12 millimeters, you're not covering the entire surface. Now, some of that light is going to creep back and maybe cause the distal to appear to be cured, but if you don't go at it with multiple cures from multiple angles, it may appear to be cured, but it won't be. And the nice thing about the Grand is it completely covers that surface. So it's got a much larger curing surface than any other light on the market, which is phenomenal. The brightness, the intensity of the light is crazy. Up to, depending on what mode you set it to, up to over 3,000 milliwatts per square centimeter, which is crazy bright. Most of the manufacturers on the market that make composite will tell you that your light should probably be at the least 800 milliwatts per square centimeter. I prefer a minimum of 1,000. That's what I recommend. And then you think about this particular light, and you can turn it up to the point that it is so intense, it's over 3,000 milliwatts per square centimeter, which is, like I said, crazy bright. The other thing about the Baylo, and this is what really I think sets
you a question before you move on. So,
yeah.
Sorry, I'm over here on the wing and I just like butt in when I want to. So, light meters. Is a light meter going to capture that extremely high 3,000 milliwatts per centimeter square? Is any random light meter going to be able to measure that?
No, that is a great question, seriously. And that's why I like you sitting on the wing, because you reel me in every once in a while when I go off the deep end. No, the light meters that are available now, there are some radiometers out there that are built into, like charging stations for these lights. They don't go up that high. There are one or two radiometers that you can purchase that are analog, where they have a little needle, instrumentation indicates intensity. But those only actually go up to 2,000. And also, what a lot of people don't realize is that when you hold the light up to those kind of light meters, you're actually only checking the light that's in one very small space. There may be a large circle that you're supposed to put the light meter over, but that large circle doesn't actually have sensing equipment under it to cover that entire space. So you might get one little kind of a pinhole view of what you're doing. So that also throws things off. So between the fact that they don't go up high enough to even measure that, and the fact that they aren't necessarily, capturing the full output and the full brightness of it, you won't get a good reading. I keep hearing some stories that I can't attribute to anybody right now, because I promised to keep it quiet. But there are some companies that are working on some light meters now that will be a lot more beneficial out there for really figuring out what your lights will do. But none of them that I'm aware of are on the market yet. And that's a really great question.
killing us. You basically just told us you're under NDA or something, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's one of the weird things about what I do is you get the non-disclosure agreements, the NDAs, and then it becomes the old thing of, you know, I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. And
over
that
dentistry.
Doesn't do anybody any
and
good.
You
yeah.
said it's not the end all be all, and yet you're willing to kill for it. Oh my gosh.
Well, only in certain circumstances. Not every circumstance.
Okay.
And speaking of, I will say
track.
This. Speaking of killing for dentistry, the Valo, all the Valos, not just the Grand, all the Valos are made out of aerospace grade aluminum, which is like the best grade of aluminum that you can purchase. And they are CAD-CAM milled in the basement of UltraDent in these giant CNC machines that literally take a bar of aluminum and in somewhere between 30 and 60 minutes, they spit out these two pieces of aluminum that are custom made to fit together, and then they put the electronics in. So the Valo is heavy duty. You can drop it multiple times without any damage to the device. They are incredibly durable. So they're not only bright, but you can drop them on the floor accidentally, and they just take a licking and keep on ticking. They're like the old Timex. Most of your lights out there are made from molded plastic. And if they hit the ground, if they survive, you can certainly tell they've been dropped. And the Valo looks just like it did when it came out of the box after a drop. So that's the other thing, is they are so doggone durable. And one of the jokes I like to say is that in dentistry, everything hits the floor. The only thing that doesn't eventually hit the floor is the floor itself. I mean, we're going to drop everything. So you know the pain like going down. Well, you know, you'd be amazed if you, if you're polishing a crown and it catches the glove, no telling where it's going to end up.
That's true. No, I meant people falling out of your chair, but you're right. You got me. You could totally drop a crown.
And you could tip the chair back far enough, probably. Depending on
who's seen that is it Impractical Jokers with the dentist chair that they just keep tilting back and back and back and back and back, and the patients sit there. They just let them do it.
Oh,
the amount
God,
of trust
that
we put in professionals.
I've got to look that up. That is a riot. It is kind of incredible what people in their attempts to help us help them. It's pretty amazing sometimes what people will do or what they'll put up with. So let's leave the curing realm and let's move on to digital X-ray and high tech in that regard. And before
UltraDent is booth 3811. Okay.
Thank you. 3811. That's good. I'm glad that you've been able to do that, because I have not obviously been able to do my homework on this and get the booth numbers. So thank you for doing that.
I'm your wing gal.
Everybody needs somebody on their wing. And that's why I never leave my wing gal. I will never, ever leave my wing gal. That's just the way it works. That's the unwritten law of the podcast. So when I say X-ray, I think most people will roll their eyes and go, oh, great, yeah, X-ray. That's such a sexy subject. But this is kind of a cool thing, and I bring this up because there's two things that DEXIS has done lately that I think is really, really cool. The other nice thing about you on my wing is I know that, you know, if something isn't cool, you'll call me on it, but I think you'll agree with me. It's two things. Number one, they've got their newest sensor is now out, and it is called the DEXIS Titanium. The generation before this was the Platinum. And it's a phenomenal sensor, takes a phenomenal image. The titanium is really interesting because of cell phones. And let me explain this. One of the things that the cell phone industry did for us is it made a lot of electronic parts that we don't even really think about, but it made them plentiful and affordable. And one of those little pieces that's in your phone that nobody knows about is called an accelerometer. The accelerometer is simply a little chip that orients itself in 3D. And what the accelerometer does in your cell phone is, for instance, on some of the new iPhones, if you just pick it up without even touching the screen, it'll turn on. And it does that because it senses that it's moving. But the other thing that the accelerometer allows you to do is when you turn your phone sideways, the screen automatically rotates. And that's also due to the accelerometer. So the accelerometer can tell where the device is in space in all three dimensions. And then it can help you do things, you know, like orient yourself. So because of all this, you know, cell phone tech and the plentiful amount of accelerometers that are on the market now, DEXIS built one into the DEXIS titanium sensor. So what this means is the sensor actually can tell movement. And if you go and search on YouTube for the titanium sensor, and I'm sure, Wingal, we can probably put a note with that link in our show notes, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Yeah, so what the titanium does is if you move it in certain ways, the software works without touching the computer. So, for instance, if you want to take a vertical bite wing, you hold the sensor still, and then you raise it and lower it in a vertical manner, such as, you know, like from waist to shoulders, back and forth. And that tells the software, take a vertical set of bite wings. If you want to take a horizontal set of bite wings, you hold it in the same starting place and move it left and right. And that tells, you know, in a horizontal line, that tells the device and the software, we need to take horizontal bite wings. So you can now control the computer without taking your gloves off or, you know, without getting the cross-contamination of touching a mouse or a keyboard and then needing to wipe it down later. So that's the really, I mean, the image and other things about the sensor are cool and amazing. It's definitely an upgrade. But that whole piece of the accelerometer in there, I think is just flat out cool. And it's one of those things where now that somebody's done it, we'll see this showing up in other devices before long too, I know. And it's going to allow us to do some really cool things. I envision probably intraoral cameras that will have this, and they'll be able to change their orientation so that you don't ever take a picture sideways again. You know, the camera will correct for movements and all kinds of
things. That'd be amazing.
Not on the market yet, but that's coming. Yeah. I mean, if you think about that, it's a simple thing to do once you realize it can be done. The electronics already exist.
Right.
So it is just stinking cool. And then the other thing from DEXIS is that they have integration now with the Amazon Echo, or, you know, some people refer to it as the Alexa. In actuality, any of the devices that Amazon makes that, you know, control your home or, you know, answer questions and such, those are all called Echoes. There's different types, like the little ones that look like hockey pucks are called Echo Dots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you put an Echo Dot in the operatory, and then without touching the computer, once you've got it set up, you can say, Alexa, ask my helper to compare the bite wings of number 19. And with no user intervention at all, yeah, it pulls up every bite wing that is identified in the software as having tooth number 19 associated with it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And the same way of if you wanted to see not just radiographs, but maybe, you know, on tooth number 4, maybe you have some extraoral photos you've taken with, you know, like a Canon digital SLR or some intraoral photos, PAs, and bite wings, and you want to see them all, you just say, Alexa, ask my helper to show all of tooth number 4. And once again, every image in the database that's associated with tooth number 4 shows up on the screen. Yeah,
that
what
sounds
I
like
think
the Jetsons or something. The Jetsons.
Well,
I'm so dated. The Jetsons.
Well,
you all know what
okay.
I'm talking about. If you don't, you're too young.
Don't worry about it, Astro. Everything will be fine.
Ruh-roh.
I'm on a, yeah. I'm really going to date myself and say that when I heard about this and saw the demo, my first thought was of Harrison Ford in the original Blade Runner. There's a part where he's studying a photograph and he's talking to his computer. He's like, you know, like pan right 7 clicks and he goes like bang, 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 you know, zoom in, you know, 250x or whatever and ding, ding, you know, and it zooms in. And that's what I thought of. But that kind of stuff is coming. Right now it's simply getting the images, and bringing them up. You can also use Dex Voice to control, just like the titanium sensor. If you don't happen to have the sensor, you can say, like, Alexa, ask my helper to take a PA of number 9, and it will then set up to take an anterior, you know, periapical radiograph. But before long, there'll be, you know, the ability to zoom, the ability to pan, all of that without touching anything. And that kind of stuff, that's not the future. That's not some pie in the sky thing. You can do that right now, which is crazy. I mean, it is sort of Jetson-ish. You know, by the way, you know, Steve Jobs actually mentioned the Jetsons in an iPhone demo when you're at Macworld, so I don't want you to feel,
So then I'm super cool.
Yeah.
I'm super
He actually, I think it was the first time they ever used FaceTime live at Steve Jobs' keynote. He was talking to Johnny Ive, who's the design genius behind the iPhone. And I believe he said something to Johnny about, this is like the Jetsons for sure, or I don't know, something like that. So I don't want you to feel bad. If Steve Jobs mentioned the Jetsons, you're in good company with that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm a huge baseball fan, and I was at a game this summer. Yep, absolutely, go Royals. And my one of my hygienists was at the game, and she FaceTimed me from her seats, and because she didn't know where my seats were, and she's like, "Where are your seats?" And so I just turned the phone around, you know, and just kind of showed her, you know, my orientation from where I was, and she found me without having to know what row I was in or what section I was in or, you know, whatever. Because, and you know, nobody even thought about it. You just do it. So it's
It sounds like Dexys is a great place to spend a little time in one of those non-busy portions of the meeting. So that's booth number 1602. Check out Dexys.
Thank you.
Very interesting.
And that is one of those things where either to touch it or to actually, you know, use the gestures with it is just going to be incredible. I'm sure they'll be demoing the voice piece of it. Honestly, I don't know how well the voice works in an environment like a big exhibit hall like Chicago. I don't know if the background would be too much to really get a good demo or not. But they'll know for sure when you get there. So thank you for once again for looking that up. The last thing, and then we'll wrap it up for this particular episode, is a product from Orscoptic. And they will be at the Midwinter, I know. In fact,
booth 1200.
Okay, thank you. Booth 1200. You are quick on the draw with that today. I wanted to talk about one of their products, but just real quickly, especially since we are talking about the Chicago Midwinter, I wanted people to know last year was the first time they did this, but they brought it back this year, and I wanted to tell people about it. They just contacted me with this information, I think maybe this morning. They are doing a thing called Next Day at the Chicago Midwinter, and what they're doing is if you buy a set of scopes from booth 1200, you can pick them up custom made for you the next day.
Wow.
And yeah, it is incredible to me, Miguel, because a lot of the telescopes that we use now in dentistry, you know, not too many people are using flip-ups anymore. Most people are using what they call TTL, which is through the lens. So what they do is the Orscoptic puts a device on like your forehead, and it measures the distance between your pupils. They call that the interpupillary distance, or the IPD. They measure that, and it's sort of like a fingerprint. You know, no IPDs are exactly the same. And then they custom drill the lenses on the glasses to your inner pupillary distance. And then they put the scopes into those holes. That's why if you've got anything that's made like this, you know, your glasses, if a colleague tries them on, usually they can only see out of one of the scopes. It's because, you know, it's set up just for your eyes.
Totally custom fit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And totally custom fit overnight.
Wow.
So, you know, you go in on Thursday and you get measured. And on Friday, you can stop by the booth and pick up your custom fit surgical scopes.
Wow. That's amazing. And, what great service.
Yeah.
And tell everybody about the iZoom from Orascoptic.
Okay.
Because that's the one you're in love with, right?
Yeah, yeah, it is. And real quick, before I move on and talk about that particular set, let me say also that in this notification I got from the company, they said to qualify for next day pickup, orders must be placed by 2 p.m. on Thursday or by 12 p.m. on Friday. So those are the killers. If you want to pick your glasses up on Friday, you have to
stop by in the morning.
2 p.m. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to get them on Saturday, you've got to be there in the morning on Friday. But now let's talk about the iZoom. The iZoom is a variable magnification set of scopes. And the cool thing is that you can put them on and then you can basically dial them in. The barrels rotate and you can go from 3.0 to 4.0 to 5.0 magnification, all with one set of glasses. So if you, if you've never worn mag before, most people, it's better for new users to start at low mag. So you can buy these and start at 3, and then as you get used to them and then want to go up in mag, you can go up to 5 simply by rotating the barrels. It used to be that you would have to buy another set of scopes.
Wow.
The other thing that is awesome about these is that I do most of my dentistry at 4 or 5. And with these glasses, I can then go in and do my hygiene exam at 3. And the nice thing about doing that is that at 3, I have a much wider field of view. I can see about a quadrant at a time, so I get sort of the big picture feel of what the patient looks like. But then when I go to actually do dentistry, I can then zoom in to 4 or to 5 to do my dentistry, but you do it all from one set of glasses.
That's
amazing. And that is, yeah, it really, really is incredible to be able to do that. So now you've got just one pair of surgical scopes for everything. There's no reason to, have a pair where, you know, you start out and you buy some 2.5s and you get used to them and then you want to go up, so you buy another pair of glasses and you've got this, you know, expensive pair of glasses, you know, hanging on a hook somewhere that you never touch. These are, you know, glasses you put on and just wear all day, and then you just change the magnification depending on what your procedure is.
Well, sounds like everybody needs to show up to that booth number 1200, on Thursday or Friday in the morning so that they can get their iZooms by the next morning,
Absolutely. Day.
Yeah.
Highly
Great.
Recommended. I am a big believer in magnification. One of the things I use in my office is the iZoom. I love them, and I can't recommend them highly enough. So that is... for this episode, the 5 things that I think people ought to check out when they go to Chicago. So when you're developing your pregame plan of what you want to see, hopefully that these 5 things will help you make some good decisions.
Yeah, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of stuff to look at Chicago Midwinter, and just trying to focus on where you should spend your time. This has been a great service for your audience. Now, if people want to talk to you about what they thought of all these items, do you think Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter is a great way, or Facebook. I'm at Twitter @JFlukey, letter J, and then FLUCKE. Facebook, John Flukey. So either of those places are great. So yeah, please reach out to me. You know, that's what the evangelist is supposed to do, right? Is supposed to get people excited about things. And so if I can help you make a good decision and you want to reach out to me for that, I'm happy to do it.
And you're going to be at Chicago, yeah?
Yes, I will be at the Midwinter meeting. I am not speaking this year, but I will be there. I'm going to be on the exhibit hall floor most of the day Thursday. And part of the day Friday. I've got I got a lot of meetings at this particular meeting, which is kind of the way Chicago works for me, is I spend a lot of time kind of getting to see new things or talk to people about projects that might be, you know, in the hopper for next mm-hmm. February.
Well, everybody who wants to bump into Dr. Flukey, send him a tweet from Chicago Midwinter, and you know, maybe you guys can meet up and look at some of this stuff together. That'd be super
yeah,
cool.
Absolutely.
I'd do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would love to do that. Give me a shout out and let me know where you are, and I'll see if I can, if it fits in my schedule. I'd be happy to get together with folks.
Next time we record an episode, we should talk about new stuff you saw at Chicago that you're allowed to talk about without killing anyone.
That, you know what, as little bloodshed as possible, we try and run a family podcast here. So yeah, as little Pulp Fiction, you know, homage as we can get away with would be great by me. So that would be fun. And, yeah, I think that's a great idea, Wayne. Yeah, we'll do that. I'll let people that maybe couldn't make it to the meeting, you know what I saw. Also, if you can't make it to the meeting with the whole Twitter thing, I do tweet a lot, especially at meetings like that. And so as I see cool stuff at the meeting, if you follow me on Twitter, I will post you know, photos and commentary and that sort of thing whenever possible about the, you know, the new things that I just happened to stumble across as I was walking the aisles of the exhibit hall.
Cool. Well, I will be following you, and I hope our audience will be following you. And let's sign off. We'll see you guys
all
next
right.
time.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out and listening to the Wayne Gallo and I on the Technology Evangelist podcast. We'll be back with you before you know it. Thank you so much.